Welcome to Tell Me What You're Working On. I'm Gabriella Filippi, and in this series, I speak to creatives in our community about what they do, how they do it, and why they do it. Have you ever wanted to be in a band? Musicians Alana Haynes and Delilah Rose did since they were little, and that's what they're doing now. They're currently playing together for Delilah's new album, Moxie, but Alana also has another band, Legs Electric. Musicians stay busy. In this conversation, they talk about finding your people, developing your skills, and finding time for creativity with a young family. It was a great insight into their world, and we laughed a lot. Enjoy. Hi Dee, hi Alana, thanks for joining me today.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. So, you're musicians, that's why I've got you here. Mm-hmm. So please explain who you are and what you do. Who wants to go first?
Dee, go for it.
My name is Dee, or Delilah Rose on stage, and I am a mum and I am a music-making person and many other things. A songwriting retreat facilitator.
Oh, yeah.
Alana, how would you describe yourself?
Mostly a guitarist, I would say. Yep, guitarist, mum.
And you're in a couple of bands as well? A
few bands, yep.
Yep.
And a photographer.
Oh, yeah, I do graphic design as well and photography. Well, you know, the creative things.
Creative across the board. That tends to be the norm.
Yeah, I think it's just in the same, yeah. If you're creative, you can probably do most things.
So, Alana, when was the first time you picked up an instrument?
Oh, when I was little, in primary school, I did classical guitar because you had to do those hearing test things, you know, where they beep, the tone thing, and yeah, guitar was the thing that they gave to a few kids that did that hearing test, and me and four other kids played classical guitar, so I think that would have been grade six, which is now the equivalent of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's changed a bit.
And you did that through high school?
No. I went to a music school and I didn't play music at all because it wasn't cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after that, so that was classical guitar. Did that for a bit, which isn't super inspiring because it's not like you're learning songs that, you know, you're listening to, which would have been Spice Girls, Hanson, whatever was, you know, on trend in year six, seven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm learning like some classical, like these like little Spanish-y sort of sound, which is really cool now. And I think it's really cool now. But at the time I was like, eh. Oh, wait, no, there was the Titanic song. We did learn that. Was that My Heart Will Go On? That was, yes. Yeah. Oh, and Flintstones. There was a few cool like little like Flintstones, The Simpsons, you know, theme song.
Yep.
But other than that, I don't think it was super inspiring to keep going. And then after high school, I would go out and watch bands down in Scarborough, down in the local pub. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, they were just cover bands playing in a pub. And I was just like, ah, amazing. I'm going to pick up a guitar. So that would have been watching bands at 17, 18. I think for my 18th or 19th, I got an electric guitar. And yeah.
And so then you picked it back up.
Then I did, and then I went straight to getting lessons, and my teacher was like, you'll have to play, you know, a couple of years before you can perform. And I was like, no, I'm just going to like, I was like, I'm just going to practice in my room for like hours on end, which I did. I was not happy unless I was like practicing at least 4 hours a day because I was like, I am going to go play. I'm going to do what these guys are doing.
Mm.
So, yeah, I was stubborn and I did it. But, however, I do wish I had learned theory properly
before
I, you know, because – my teacher wanted to teach me theory and I was like, no, I just want to learn the songs. I just want to learn these riffs. Hurry up, show me and so I can go. So I do kick myself for not learning theory properly because
right.
It's a lot harder now that I'm really sleep deprived.
And what about you, Dee? How did you get started in music?
I grew up in a musical family. So I grew up going to church and my dad played keys and my mum sang, and so listening to mum sing harmony and always hearing dad play keys at church was probably the beginning. And then dad also was very balanced, so we listened to a lot of Joe Cocker and Rolling Stones and Beach Boys and lots of things on vinyl at home.
All the
and
good stuff.
Yeah. So that was a really big part of it as well. And, you know, Dad used to play in cover bands around the wheat belt.
Nice.
When I was little.
Nothing and, like country crowd.
Right. And, you know, there was not much to do out in the wheat belt. So they also used to play in musicals as well, like they'd put on musicals. So I remember them all practicing and doing that when I was little. But I didn't really pick up a guitar until I was 19.
And did you get lessons or you just kind of taught yourself?
No, I just taught myself, yeah. I thought, no, Dad taught me two chords and kind of went from there. I went to TAFE and studied music and because I didn't know what else to do with my life.
Okay, and so then you would have learnt theory and those things that Alana was just saying she wished she'd learnt?
Well,
I did the TAFE thing as well.
Yeah.
And they try and teach you theory there. And again, I just, my brain.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah.
There was no theory. I just wanted to play.
And see, there you go.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And so then how did you translate, I'll go back to you, Alana, how did you translate from I want to learn, I want to play, to actually finding musicians and playing with them?
Okay, so I did the same TAFE thing that Dee did, which is amazing. Mm. It's so great. You're like, you're put together with like-minded people that are thinking the exact same thing as you, like loving it that much. So you find musicians there.
Mm.
And back in the day when you like had the paper and you had the back of the, what bit of the paper was it?
Express magazine.
Express, yes. Yeah. And, you know, oh, I think I started maybe with Express or, you know, something like that and finding musicians there. You know, you got to start that sort of scrappy way, I think. And then as you go on, then it's like someone knows someone or word of mouth or whatever, but it started in that really sort of, yeah, that scrappy raw way, I think. Yeah.
And you, Dee?
Yeah, same. Like the first band I was in, it was because of TAFE and we got put together and we had to write a song and that was the class assessment. And I was like with two other girls and one of them could play guitar and one of them could sing and I was like, well, I can hold a tune. So like, oh, well, we might as well, yeah, okay, cool. We'll like write a song together. And we're best mates still now. So it's, yeah. And I still sing with one of them.
So what's it like the first time you get up and you play in front of an audience?
Terrifying.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't get better. I thought it would. Like the older you get, the less you would care. But I don't know. I think I was was ballsier when I was younger and then it's progressively I'm like just, yeah, deteriorating. You're more thoughtful. I think, yeah, when I was younger, I don't know, I feel like I was like, yes, how could you not love this? Mm. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, you're not always going to be everyone's cup of tea.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a part of being an older, wiser human. You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, hopefully you are like that, I think. It
comes with the territory of being a bit wiser.
Self-awareness.
I still get nervous about being on stage.
You never seem nervous.
But I love it more now than I used to. And I found a freedom in it that I didn't have before.
How long have you been performing?
Since I was 18.
Which is
a few years ago. 20-something years ago.
So you've been performing for that long?
Yeah, but there's a bit of a break here and there. Like I played in a cover band with Dad and then some original stuff here and there. And it's probably only in the past 10 years that I've really gone, oh, no, I like this. I go and keep doing it. Mm-mm. Yeah.
And what about you, Alana? Dee was saying that she feels really, really comfortable. Are you comfortable performing now?
Yes. I am comfortable. No, I am I'm comfortable on stage, but I still get nervous. I still get that little thing in your stomach. I would love to not have that. I wonder what that's like.
I'll
always get it, I think.
I think I like that. I think that's like reminds you that you're alive and like it. I still have to do like anti-anxiety, like deep belly breathing and like. But
you need to show me. I don't know what that is.
I show you. But I love it because it's like the ultimate test of being present.
Oh, for sure.
Like there's only there's only right now when you're on stage performing. Mm-hmm. There's only right here and there's only right now. And you can't.
As soon as you daydream off somewhere else.
Yeah. You have to be so, you missed it. So present. And I reckon it's like a form of meditation under duress.
It's really stressful meditation.
Yeah.
So then when you both picked up your guitars, was it to play guitar or was it the idea of getting up in front of people and playing the guitar?
For me, it's getting up in front of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Performing. I love performing. Yep. I would have loved to have gotten into musical theatre, but I grew up in Cunderdon and there's no whopper in Cunderdon. And then when you like leave Cunderdon to go to high school, there's like I had to have already done those previous years of drama or whatever it is. So I couldn't just start in year 11. So I couldn't ever do any of that. So I just do it now on stage with costumes and flounce and flair and silliness and, yeah.
You bring it all.
Yeah. My previous burlesque training.
Isn't it funny? As you get older, all the elements of the different things you do, they coalesce and then you go, this is the thing.
This is why. Oh, right.
But it's almost like your creativity is showing itself in different ways. Yeah. And then you kind of see the package and go, oh, I don't know who gets that at 21. I certainly didn't.
I think that as well. I'm like, how do younger people get it? You know, like yeah. You need a bit of life behind you.
Yeah.
I think.
It's yeah. very interesting.
Or to be like have any conviction behind it, you got to have some life behind it.
Yep. Yeah.
Otherwise you're a cartoon.
So when did songwriting come into it? Was that always part of your intention? You know, like we all love music and can totally understand that you wanted to play the stuff that you love, but was that ever driven by a desire to create your own, or were you just really happy to master the stuff that you loved?
Oh, I wanted to create. I wanted to do both because I think you can create by mastering as well. I remember like playing like when I was – because I started with the original stuff – and I was also learning like all my favorite musician songs and whatever. And there was this guy that didn't agree with me. And he was like, no, I think the more you like try and learn other people's stuff, like it's just going to influence your stuff too much. And then his first original song he came out with was Knocking on Heaven's Door, Bob Dylan. I'm like, oh, you know that's a song, that chord progression, that melody, that's been done. And he's like, no, it's not. I'm like, well, if you listen to other people's music, you would know this. I think, like, you know, you have it. Like, the more you listen to, the better. Mm. And, like, the more, like, things you can learn, the better. It'll make your music more interesting.
So did you start writing early on or was it a bit later?
Oh, the same time that I picked up an electric guitar. Same time. It was all at once. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, right. What about you, Dee?
Songwriting for me happened, yeah, when I picked up the guitar as well at TAFE doing that. That stuff, because we had to, it was a part of it.
Oh, that's right.
It was the assignment, so I didn't want to
fail. Gets you in the flow of it.
Yeah, which was great. But I really liked, TAFE was really cool because you're in this like hotbed of creativity. Totally. You know, like you're right in it. And
we
it
should
was,
do ads for them.
We totally
Leaderville
should.
TAFE. No. I know, I just highly recommend it because I'm like, really, you are.
Yeah.
Everyone's like vibing.
Yeah. It's so great. And so many great musicians have come out of there and it's a really fun time. I ended up going back and teaching there.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Once you find your people,
yeah.
you feel safe and you feel like my choices are okay.
Oh, totally. Yes. Oh, yeah, because I felt like I know friends that like loved music. Like they were happy going to whatever club and I'm like, I'm not happy unless there's a band on.
Yeah.
Like, this place is boring, let's leave. I'm like, what are we doing here? And, like, I'm like, clearly we're on a different wavelength, yep. you know? Like, I'm like, there needs to be someone playing something.
So let's talk a little bit more about the songwriting. Do you write together for the band or you
I put little guitar bits and pieces over
magic.
The stuff that
magic
Dee's done.
Magic.
How do you start the songwriting process? As in, how do you start?
Yeah, so through very different ways. Sometimes it's a guitar sequence of chords. Sometimes it's a melody that's stuck in my head and I I've recorded it into my phone and I go back and try and figure out what the lyric, sometimes it's a lyric, sometimes it's a conversation that I've heard, and I put all that down and fashion some kind of form out of it, yeah.
And then you take it to the band and they add to it, or it's pretty completed, or how does that
the project happen? This project was a little bit different to other the last project that I did, because I was really, really intentional about the way that I set it up. It was like a 3-year project. I listened to a song by a band called Fanny out of the 60s out of America, and they I heard this song and I was just, it completely blew my mind. They were the first all-female band to be signed to a major label in America. And for the first time ever, I thought, I could do this with all women. Oh, right. Okay. My next project's going to be all women. And I researched and I created this playlist, and I wanted a specific sound, and I read books about Fleetwood Mac, and I read books about the Rolling Stones, and I just really immersed myself in the 70s, like late 60s, early 70s, like 69 to 76 kind of time, and even a little bit 80s. And I wrote all the songs, and then I put the band together. I got a grant and I put the band together, and I've gone about it the backwards way, which is also the way they actually used to record. That's how they used to do it. And we went into the studio. I fashioned the songs and we rehearsed them and got them studio ready. And then we went into the studio and we did as much as we could live. And now I think we've only played about 5 shows together, and now we're going on the road.
How long did you rehearse together for?
Oh, not long. Not long.
Not long.
So had you two known each other prior to this project?
We knew of each other.
Okay. But yeah. You hadn't played together?
No.
No.
Interesting. That must have been a fascinating research process.
It was great. It was really great. Yeah, I really enjoyed this project.
And so you've recorded?
Yep.
And has it turned out the way you thought it would at the beginning? I mean, I know things evolve, but did it meet the mark?
Above and beyond.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, above and beyond. I'd actually buy the record.
Good sign.
Hear that, folks? Alana, did it meet what you thought it was going to be going in?
I didn't know what to expect at all. And it's kind of, well, it's kind of completely different to anything that I had experienced before this, like not playing the song hardly at all. And then, having a recording studio booked and songs not finished yet was completely, I'd never heard of. But it was really cool. It was very cool to be under that sort of time, like, let's just do it. What was it? The saying, done's better than perfect. And I was like, yes, this is cool. Instead of, because you can get painstakingly into details and not move forward or not move at all if you start to think like that. And then Dee was just in this completely different mind frame. And it was refreshing. It was very cool.
Can I ask what grant it was?
DLGSC, Contemporary
Arts.
Very
cool. Mm. Yep. And did you record it, or you got someone to record it for you? How does that part work?
I got a producer on board, Noel Shulkin from Lollybox, and yeah, so he was with me the whole. He produced my last EP as well, and we just got on like a house on fire. So he's really helped me in the pre-production phase and to get everything really ready for recording. And then we had an engineer, Chad Blundell, at Foxhole. Yeah, studios.
And what other musos did you have in the recording?
Jess on drums. She's used to play in Tommy Hawks. And then Jenna Hardy, she played bass on the recording from Unicorn. And Nikki Ball on vocals from Midnight Francine. And then
who's
me and Alana. Oh, and a woman called Maureen Lacoste from Canada. Noah found her because I really wanted a Hammond B3 player, because you've got to have Hammond if you're going to write a 70s album.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she is this like absolutely rocking Hammond B3 player from Canada, and we just sent her the tracks. She just laid the tracks down and sent them back.
Okay.
So good. So good.
And so how many of you are touring?
Just five of us touring. It was too expensive to get Maureen across. But, yeah.
Grant didn't cover that.
Greg. No, it didn't. No. And Jenna had to finish up after the recording process because she's got Unicorn, so she's working on that. But I pilfered Erin from Legs Electric. So I have Erin and Alana playing and Jess and Nikki, and we're all going on tour.
That's so exciting. How many shows are you doing?
Just two on the weekend. We're all mums as well. So it's a tour is like a...
That is a tour.
That is a tour. two nights. We're going on tour.
Short and sweet.
Yes. So, yeah. Oh, look, if you want anything done, you ask a mum.
Yeah, yeah.
A weekend is a tour. I tell you, a weekend is a tour. I totally relate.
I'm like, unless we can charge more and then that pays for babysitters, we got to keep the tours short and sweet.
Yeah.
So, Elena, tell me about your other band that you're in.
Legs Electric?
Yep.
Yes.
How'd it come about?
This was like about 5 years ago. Their guitarist left for Melbourne and I thought that band looks like a pretty cool band. Might try out, and it worked out really well.
So they were auditioning?
Yeah, they were auditioning for a guitarist. So, yeah, there's a handful in Perth that I know of, unless there's some secret bedroom players that will probably come out of the works at some point. Yeah. So there was not many of us and, yeah, but, you know, we get along well and I think that's a massive part of it. You've got to be able to get along with people.
And do you write and record with them as well?
Yes. Yeah, we just record. We've just released a new single about 3 weeks ago. Black Moon, it's out there. Give it a spin. Has a video to go with it. So, yeah, that's our latest one. We've got a new one coming out in a few weeks as well.
And I believe you just recently did a very cool gig.
We've done a few cool gigs. Friday night, we were honoured to support KISS on their last farewell tour.
Nice.
In Australia. So unreal. Surreal.
I can imagine. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Nah, super cool. It was very cool that they got a little, you know, little local Perth band, especially like an all-girl one. It was very cool.
So good.
How big was the crowd?
Big enough.
Huge. It was huge. It was just about sold out.
That's amazing.
Yeah. In the arena, the Perth Arena. I was in the audience. It was absolutely amazing. They played so, so well.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, I'm so proud. I'll pay you later. I'm so proud. Look at them being all rock and roll and stuff. I know them. See, I was like tapping people on the shoulder and going, I know them. I know them. I play music with them sometimes. How cool are they?
See, there was one fan there.
Oh,
honey.
There was so many.
I'm sure there were heaps.
There were so many.
Sure there were heaps. Going back to your, I guess there's two aspects in terms of your creativity. You're both play instruments, but you both are also songwriters. So you're a double pronged.
Double threat.
Yeah, double threat. That's the one I was thinking of.
D dances as well. That's a triple threat.
Stop it.
Who says you don't get to have that musical theatre moment?
That's right. Every show.
Every show you
can. Hey, I got a leaf blower for the tour. I'm so excited.
Stepping it up a notch.
On stage. I'm very excited about the leaf blower.
Not even quiet.
I'm not even joking.
It's so direct as well. I don't know why you didn't get a fan. But whatever.
Because there's just like,
there's a good. Country. It's not share, it's country.
It is. Because of the comedic aspect of it, it's ridiculous.
And you can go home and use it.
Yes.
It's both entertaining and practical.
Too pronged.
You play and you write. I'll start with you, Dee. How would you say you have developed? Obviously, you've progressed and you've improved. Mm. Reflecting on your years of building your skills as a songwriter and a musician, is there something that stands out to you?
Yes, to just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And just keep doing it. Just keep going. As a songwriter, just to keep on writing. And I read a book called The Artist's Way, And that cracked me open. That was such a huge catalyst for me, discovering that book and doing the, I think it's a month writing thing.
The pages.
And, oh my gosh. Yeah, that was a huge moment for me. And that is what got me back into writing my own music again, because I played in a cover band for years with Dad. And, yeah, that was it, the artist's way. And so that got me writing and songwriting, and then after that I just wanted more, because I just loved it so much. Just found this thing that I was able to not only express myself, but I learnt to process things, because otherwise it's all just internal for me. So yeah, learning how to just spew it all out on the page, mm-hmm. and then pick out the bits that were shining and fashion that into some sort of song that people go, oh my gosh, that song's about me. You wrote that song about me. Wow. Yeah.
And is that where you see yourself having improved, like being able to pick those, as you said, the shiny bits out of, you know, when you start writing, I imagine you just kind of write everything and don't necessarily have that critical eye and perhaps objectivity as yet, because you're not experienced in it. And then you can, I guess that's where your nuggets or whatever it is that you want to call them,
yeah,
come from.
Absolutely. And like Alana said before about, you know, listening to as much as you can music-wise, it's the same for songwriting and writing and learning what tools you can use as a writer, and, you know, lyric and form and melody, and like it's endless. You'd never be able to learn all of the things in songwriting. And then, you know, like at the end of the day, like it matters nothing, and it matters 100%. Like you could write the most perfect song and it could only be perfect to you and not to anyone else. But like, who cares about it?
Totally.
You know, like that's kind of the most frustrating thing about it and the most amazing thing about it.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that enough? As long as it's right for you in terms of it's what you wanted to say or create, is that enough? Because you work in a medium that is all about sort of sharing it externally, in quite a, you know, in a direct way in terms of performing, but then also in selling recordings. How does that feel? I know you often read in interviews musicians say, once it's out there, it's out there, and it's not mine anymore, but it's still your creativity, it's still your invention. And is you being happy with it enough, or is the feedback part of it, or just a nice part of it? Does that make sense?
I think it's just a nice part of it, because I think if you make something that you're stoked with and that you, like you said, I'd buy my album or I'd listen to it, I feel like that's the best bit, to make something that you genuinely love, you know. That's it. And then everything else is just nice on top of that.
Yeah, it's that bonus, isn't it?
I reckon, because you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, you know?
And
I don't reckon.
And I imagine doing a performance is a very different experience, because it's that direct feedback for an audience. So that's all about the interaction.
Totally.
I think it's it can be very easy to get caught up in the feedback of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm about to – the album releases next Thursday, and you know, I've done all the work. We've done all the work. It's been done. I'm so happy with, you know, the end product. And in a perfect world, I would love to say to you that's all that I need. But from a performing point of view, like I love the feedback. Of course, I love the feedback. But it's really hard to separate them sometimes,
okay,
and go, you know, it's because it's at the end of the day, it's a music business, it's music industry, you know, like, and it's hard to not to keep scrolling and keep saying, feeling like you have to produce, and you know what? Oh, D, you've written an album, written and recorded an album. What's coming next? You know, like, so I have to intentionally, you know, look inward and say, no, I am really happy with what I've done and what everyone it is out there, and what they think is what they think. And yeah, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. Right?
Right?
Yeah.
I want to talk a bit more specifically about creating your music. Elena, what do you do to support and nurture your creativity? I know that you both, you know, you have other work and you have young families to look after, which is an incredible, I want to say time suck. I don't mean time suck, but it's
a succubus.
But having a young family in particular, when there's still a lot of needs to be met on a daily basis, it's quite
hard.
It's hard, but also it doesn't leave you a lot of headspace, does it?
No, that's so true. And I think like the most creative, like the times when I've been the most creative is when I'm bored. Like when I was like waitressing and cleaning tables, that's when I'd be thinking of music ideas or whatever, and like folding boxes, something super mundane. That's why I think if you're like constantly using your headspace, or like even in doing creative stuff, like even graphic design or whatever, it takes up that creative space, and then there's no room for me personally. If I'm doing something like pottering outside or whatever, I find that's when I have my most creative ideas. So leave room to be bored, I guess, which is super hard. Like you said, being a mum, like how do you find that? They find you. You can hide in the closet, but they find you.
So what would you say that you do? Are you trying to find that time, or just acknowledging that at this point in time you just grab what you can and
grab
that will
what
change?
It's just a season. Yeah, it's a season. I think if you try and fight it, you'll be resentful, and then you're going to miss like the amazing time with your kids when they're that little. So it's just, you know, just accepting, you know, grab it where you can. Try and like even like, you know, like people being on their phone all the time, myself, you know, you can be on your phone all the time. If you just don't take it with you places, you will be able to use your mind for like those creative things. Because if you're constantly doing something that's taking up that space, yeah.
So do you, like Dee was saying earlier, that she sometimes will record stuff in her phone. Do you do that? Or
yes. Yeah. And like parts of like the recordings have like kids screaming out to me in the background. I'm like, shut up, I'm trying to like remember something.
Yeah.
La, la, la. No. But there's just like, yeah, my phone is full of voice recordings and just trying to just do it. You know, because your ideas, well, my ideas come at like 1 a.m. Like 1 a.m., I swear, it's my most creative time. Maybe it's like the only time where you've not got chaos around you. But
it's because you're a rock and roller.
Or maybe that. I've just got insomnia. It's my crippling insomnia. What was the question again? I'm running on like 4 hours sleep, which is all right.
Lana's baby's much younger than mine.
How old?
14 months at this point.
So
and I've got an 8-year
baby.
Old. Oh, almost 8-year old.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're in the trenches.
Yeah.
You're in the trenches.
Yeah. I feel like I'm clawing my way out, but
yeah.
At the moment.
It's, yeah. It's amazing. All of them, like, and Erin as well. How old's Erin's baby?
Almost two, but our drummer had her baby like 2 weeks before the Kiss gig. So there was no way she was missing that gig.
My mum thinks so crazy. Crazy.
It's just crazy.
I think I can't not do it though. Like, I think it makes me a better mum.
Yeah, I think so. And it's good for them to see you do it as well, I think.
Yeah.
I can start bringing my daughter to whatever gigs I can bring her to. She loves it.
Yeah.
And it's good they see like, oh, this is what I was doing. This is why you need to let me run some songs by myself for a second. Mm. I mean, it's good.
So, Dee, what about you? I imagine that your phone is full as well.
Yeah. There's heaps of different messages on there. I take a journal with me everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. So that at any given moment and I write it down because – I have a terrible memory, but just writing it all down and making sure that it's written down somewhere.
And probably in a way that when you can go back to it, it makes sense.
What the hell was I talking about?
That doesn't always work, but yeah. And I think, you know, for me it's about, it's about making time for your creative endeavor and, you know, drawing a line in the sand and saying, no, this is a part of what I do. This is a part of who I am. I'm a songwriter, and I actually need time to go and nurture that part, you know, whether that's a course or whether that's a, getting guitar lessons or vocal lessons. I had some vocal lessons with Grace Barbe. It was amazing, like so much fun, but like learning, love learning. Oh my gosh, so great. But it's also, as a like busy mum of two, you also just have to find the time. It's sitting on the toilet. It's in the bathroom by yourself while your hair's being, you know, whatever. And the phone on the bathroom thing and recording those beautiful reverb sounds in the bathroom. And it's just, yeah, grabbing those snippets of time, which is how I wrote the album, like just
on the toilet.
On the toilet. You heard it here first, folks.
I remember reading an interview with someone and she'd just written a book and she said, I wrote it on the train. She said, I wrote it when I was waiting for the train. I'd write it. Like those were her moments when she could do it, not when she was home. And she went to work and she said, basically, I needed to develop the skill to be able to write in 10-minute increments.
Yes.
And that's how she cobbled it together, which I thought was
It
sounded very disciplined to me.
For sure.
But I guess if a bit like you, you literally grab whatever you can and then it's like a puzzle. You put that puzzle together. And, yeah, when you don't have the opportunity of time, you are so much more protective of it, perhaps.
So true.
And focused in those, those tiny moments.
Because it's all you got.
You can't go, I'll do it later. There is no later.
No, there's no later. And, like the whole, like, faff of dinner and trying to get them to bed and then, like, it's, like, 9 o'clock and you're, like,
exhausted
and, oh, no. But I guess the passion for me is what keeps me going and like wanting to do the next thing and like, oh, because it's amazing. Like I just want to get to the next performance where I'm in that moment.
I know that you're writing, releasing something, but it makes me wonder, have you already got ideas for what you would do next based on that process and the experience and the way this current one is unfolding?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know quite what it looks like yet, but I know what the sound is and I'm just getting started.
What about you, Alana? What comes next for you after this project with Dee winds up and you've got your other band?
It should be an album.
Oh, wow. Cool.
That's what it should be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So it should be an album and, you know, possibly a tour, even national tour, that would be cool. You know, it's probably necessary. It's been a while since we've been over East, but once again, it is a lot different when, you know, half of you are mums and, you know, people have full-time jobs. You know, it's just life, and that's why it's a lot easier when you're in your early 20s and it gets progressively harder. But, yeah, I think we do have a new song that's ready to come out. Then after that, we'll be like head down, bum up, album writing, and then tour, I think.
Do you write together or do you write separately and come together? How does that process work?
Sometimes I feel like it's been a combo of both. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, either I'll have a riff or Eamon will have lyrics or Aaron will have a riff. Even the song that's about to the next one about to come out, that was based off just Kylie sending some drums to us.
Okay.
So that was the drummer going first and then the guitar and bass coming over after that and then Aimer coming in after that. So, yeah, all the different ways, I guess.
So that's really interesting because that's that organic creativity as well, because you're kind of creating not separately, I guess, but
it's separate togetherness.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's piece by piece. It's not
It's not like all get in a room, let's all go. Yeah, because it is a bit like, well,
I think that would be quite hard.
Yeah, like, some bands do it. Well, like reading like Anthony Kiedis, that Chili Pepper, you know, book and how they do it and they just like come in and just if they couldn't think of something, Flea and John will just like come in and just play a riff at each other and the best one won. I'm like, that's insane. But, you know, it works for them.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe guys are different. I don't know. Chili Peppers are definitely different.
Definitely. But, I mean, also, they've been together and doing it for a long time.
Yep.
So I guess that's kind of
And that's their
formula.
Job.
Yeah, I think bands will just find a formula that works for them, I reckon.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What would you suggest to either your younger selves or a younger person at the starting point? What would you advise or recommend? You both got a few years under your belt, a range of experiences. What would you say to someone?
Play it.
So many things. Learn some theory. Far out. What else? Don't waste time. Just do it. Have a good attitude. That definitely helps. Good attitude, consistency.
Perth is small.
Perth is small.
You will run into the same sound person that you pissed off that gig, so you better make it up to him, otherwise he's going to make you sound like shit. So be nice to the sound people.
Asshole. Don't be an asshole. Or to anyone, really, because there's a few out there.
And as a woman as well in the music industry, like, collaborate with other women. Women aren't your competition. Like,
support each other. That would be,
And, you know, like, having kids and being a mum, it's not the end of your music career. We had kids, we didn't die, you know, like.
No, but we had very supportive partners.
Yes.
And family. I think that's a big one because it's so not all on our own at all. I feel like it's just you have 110% support from whoever you're with, so.
Yeah. Let them know how important it is to you.
Yeah. Mm. Pick your partners wisely.
Yeah.
I would say that. Big time. Yeah.
And play. Play right.
Yep.
Alana and Dee, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the amazing cool stuff that you're performing, writing, working on. Where can people find out more about both of you?
Mine's at DelilahRoseMusic.com and on the socials, DelilahRoseMusic.
LegsElectric.com.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Thanks, gals.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye, Gabby. Bye.
Bye.
This project has been made with the support of the City of Stirling through their Community Creativity Fund.